Good morning, everybody. Welcome. I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting the Board of Directors meeting for Saturday, May 13th, calling it to order. And I've asked Kevin to start us off with a prayer this morning.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, for this opportunity to come together as our family of Deer Springs Ranch to seek guidance and direction and governance as the decisions that we make that move the ranch in the direction that we hope that it will all go in. And Father, we thank you for the willingness of each member to take the time out of their days and the things that they have to accomplish to attend and to be a part of this bigger picture. We give all thanks, glory, and honor in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Scott, would you go ahead and do a roll call of the board?
Okay. Cindy is here. I can see Kurt. John Harris. He's here, or was. Yeah, I think John Harris. Michael Jordison.
Here.
Don't get old, guys.
Larry?
Here.
I'm here. Bart Batista. Batista's absent, I guess. He's on a run or marathon. So everyone's here except, did I miss anybody? Anyway.
John Harris.
I called John. Anyway, everybody's here except Bart, so.
So we do have a quorum. Thank you very much. For everyone on the Zoom call, your attendance will be recorded for the minutes. So once again, because it's a Zoom call and it is recorded for posterity, if you wouldn't mind stating your name before you speak, unless, you know, you're called on and then you immediately start speaking, that's fine. But it just helps our transcript to know who is speaking when.
Don't speak.
Okay. Scott, would you like to present the meeting minutes from April?
Yes, I sent the meeting out to the board, and I got back some stuff from Michael. I appreciate that. And Larry sent some thing on the elk funds that we received, and I'll add that to the minutes that I sent out. And I'm going to also attach the road budget that we talked about last meeting. I'll attach that also to the meetings that I sent out. And other than that, I will ask that it be approved as sent out with those two changes. And
I can't approve that as much as I would like to. So okay. if you can send that out to the members, if we get a chance to look at it during the meeting, if there's a lull,
we can go ahead and
at the end of the meeting, we'll call for a vote on it.
I don't know if I can get that sent out. I don't have my computer set up.
Then we'll have to vote on that at a later time.
Okay. You want that sent out then with those two changes?
Yeah, let's do that.
Anything else? Is there anything else that anybody thinks needs to be added or changed? If not, we will add those two changes and then we will go from there.
Thank you very much, Scott. Yeah.
Did the information that I added for the clarification on the funding for the elk that Scott asked about and then Michael's contribution, I think, went to the entire board, did it not?
I'm not sure. Did everybody receive those?
I didn't see Michael's.
Okay. If you can send that to everybody and then we can vote on it maybe towards the end.
Or just what was your correction, Michael?
All I did is I went through and made sure that the spreadsheet I had that I'd made my notes on match. I went through and listened to the recording and just made sure that I had done all my notes correctly as to per our discussions.
On the roads or on something else?
Correct. On the roads.
Okay. Then yes, I'm fine with that. We can go ahead and vote on it then.
Okay. I make the proposal that we vote on the minutes with those two changes. And is there Who wants to second that?
I will second that because, I mean, the two additions that I was aware of were available to everybody.
Thank you, Larry. Any opposed? All right. I guess passed unanimously then. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Michael, you have a treasurer's report?
Yeah. I was just verifying. Yes, Cindy, you were included on that email. I just wanted to make sure that I did send that to everybody. All right. Shirking my duties a little bit this week, I did not get to go over the budgets. I just simply didn't have time with other things. Danielle did ask me to, people had reached out to her and asked about the budget that does go out. Since we are a cash accounting versus accrual, the profit and loss goes out as of the day it's run. So basically what that means is we do have some front heavy checks that go out at the beginning of the month. And if you were to run the profit and loss for, say, the end of April, it's going to be a lot different than if it's run the week before the meeting, the second weekend, because we do have that front heavy bills that come due at the first part of the month, and all of those go out at the first part of the month. So it looks a little overstated at the beginning of May, but by the end of May, depending on what comes through, I mean, we're getting into summer now where there are going to be more things getting done and more payments going on and that kind of stuff. But under normal circumstances, it's a little front heavy at the beginning of the month, which why at the beginning of the month, it looks like we're a little high. Were there any direct questions? I do have it up and I can look and ask, you know, answer direct questions if there are any. But beyond that, I have not had a chance to look at it this month.
Well, Mike, this is Cindy. Just because right up front, I will say I'm not into finance. I'm not good at this stuff. The fact that it says we're $68,000 over budget, you're saying that's misleading, I hope?
Where are you talking? Explain exactly what you're saying.
On the end of the budget that you sent out, the last page, I don't know if you can see that.
Okay.
It seems to say we're $68,000 over budget.
That's the net income. That is, okay, so that's what we have remaining to spend, if I'm reading this report correctly.
Okay. It says net operating income, and it's the same approximate number.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go through the sheet, but no, we're not. I don't believe we're. How is this report laid out? So we've had a total income so far this year of $149,000, which means we're still anticipating $65,000 more to come in. So I'm on page one.
Okay.
Of the top total. All right. So, and then down to the bottom, our total expenses are the $79,000, which leaves us the $69,000 left that we still have in the bank account to spend. That's what we've already collected. And I believe that net income 68, that's, I believe that I'm going to have to look at what that number actually is, but that may be our remaining amount that we're expecting to get. So from page one, the $65,602. I'll have to look in because I don't have a direct answer.
I appreciate that. To me, that's just a scary looking thing, and I imagine other members who also are not real good with accounting and stuff.
I'm not sure. I don't know why that says 4,906%. I'm not sure what that. I'll look into it. I'll get you an answer.
Okay.
Like I said, I had not looked at this at all yet this month. I just had not had time with some of the other stuff we're going to be discussing.
Well, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but typically when you create a budget, you're expecting, you know, at the year's end, this is what it's going to be. And up until the year's end, you're going to be severely under in your income and severely over in your expenses until you get through the end of the year.
Correct.
Equal those out. So you kind of just disregard that until like the totals.
Yeah. The totaling at the bottom with the cash accounting is you're going to be overstated or understated depending on how much income has come in. It's the detailed line items, your total expenses versus what I look at the top more than anything else. Because that's what we have received. And then the total of the actual expenses, that's what we've actually spent, versus the net at the bottom. I'll look into those numbers, but two lines up, three lines up where your total expenses are $79,000 and then we have a remaining $69,000 left. That's where I focus my attention on because that's more in line of what we're actually working with.
Okay, thank you very much for that clarification, Michael and Danielle. Okay, is that the end of your report?
Yeah, unless there are any other questions.
Okay, Kurt, would you like to give a property management report?
Okay, so first off with cabins 9 and 10, the showers are tiled, the shower floors need to be dry packed and laid on the curbs, and I will be doing that next week. The countertop boxes are almost all made, all the ones in 10 are in place, and I'll have the other ones done by tomorrow, and we will be pouring on Monday. And those will be installed by Thursday. And that will complete cabin 10. And then cabin 9 has to finish the trim and laying the floors. And cabin 9 will be done also. I've been busy opening cabins. This has probably been my toughest spring. The one that Brent warned me about that finally happened, the lower cabins, just a lot of repairs and maintenance and items to do. We got those opened on time. The upper cabins, cabin 3 is currently open and occupied. One will be ready by Monday. 4 withstood the winter. I'm making the little piece of countertop for cabin 4 at the same time I'm pouring 9 and 10. So that'll be put in next to the cutting board. And Larry, thank you very much. Sites 1 and 3 are now leveled and usable, so all three of the RV sites are usable, and we just need to plan now the location of the next three, which will be for the membership. Brent has been working diligently on the electrical building. He and I went up with the tractor and the auger, and as most of you, anybody's ever run an auger before, it takes the path of least resistance, so it doesn't go straight into the ground where you want to dig if there's a rock. And so a couple of our holes got off, and Larry, while he was doing the pads, he came over and with his mini and straightened those holes out. So now we just need to pour the concrete into the sonotubes and get the solar panels mounted up there and secured, and then Tim Michelle, Jeff Collins, Tina Collins, and somebody else went over and lifted the inverters into place, and that's all ready to go. Brent bought some. I was worried about burying the batteries. And I wanted to put him inside the building, and Brent actually one-upped me on that, and he bought some concrete pads to put behind the building, and we can just set them there, and that works better with how the electrical lines out. And we'll just build a little roof over it to protect them from the weather, and it'll be easier to service them and so forth in the future. And that's about what I got today.
So the road conditions on the ranch?
Road conditions on the ranch are acceptable. I ran the grader up to the ponds, and the ditching isn't done there because it was still too muddy to pull anything up out of the ditch. And in fact, there's still a run that's about 100 yards wrong north of the Crawford Junction. And I'll get on more of that. I did the quarter horse lane, and I'll be getting into more areas once the cabins are knocked out. And I've got a serious infestation of rodents in cabin, specifically pack rats in cabin two. And I have to go up there and clean that up. Then I got to take part of the porch off in front of the door on the west side. And I think that's probably where they're getting in, and I got to re-mouse proof that to maybe pour some concrete in there like Jeff and Tina did when they did cabin four's mouse proofing. We had a few rodents in cabin four, but I think they might have been just trapped in there from the door being left open. That mouse proofing was very thoroughly done. So, yeah. That's what we're doing.
Okay, and did you want to talk about the renovations you've got planned at headquarters? Were you ready to talk about that today?
When I get these things knocked out, since I started working here, my goal has been to work on headquarters, and other things have taken priorities. And a lot of those things are behind us now, and we're going to be adding a cattle guard. We've got the materials out in the well field to widen our cattle guards. And there's two cattle guards sitting out on pipeline that we're going to pull over and reinstall at headquarters. They were removed because they weren't wide enough. Now we're going to make them wide enough, and we're going to redo some of the entrance to the ranch with some new big poles and kind of make it look like the entrance off of Scootin' Paw. And then I have a catch pen to build at the entrance to the well field. And then the Hunt Cattle Company has an alleyway to run their cattle to and from the corrals directly. And that will no longer affect, they won't have to run them through our 2.89 acres behind the ranch house. And I'm hoping in the future sometime we can get some ideas. I have some ideas to utilize that for the membership, that 2.89 acres where it's a cow-free zone. And headquarters is also largely a cow-free zone. We've replaced all the fences around headquarters and the cattle guard and catch pen, the last two areas, and will be cattle-proofed. And we can beautify headquarters further.
All right, are there any questions for Kurt? I would like to say something about cabin 10. I've been up to it to see it, and I am just absolutely blown away with how beautiful it is, how well-appointed it is, how creative Kevin has been with reusing materials, reclaiming wood. I'm kind of excited, and I'd like to schedule a tour if anybody wants to go see a tour of the cabin renovations.
When you're done.
Email me when they're done, email me and I'll put you on the list, and we'll get together a little party and go check out the cabins.
And we reclaimed the wood in cabin 10 that was reclaimed for the wainscot, kind of like I did in cabin 6. That is also from cabin 9. What they did was they combined all of their reclaimed wood and put it in cabin 10. And so the Williams did a different design in cabin 9, which they did some pretty clever things in there. So I think both cabins are going to reflect the individuals working on them.
Somebody asked how Slide Canyon Road is. Have you been out there, Kurt?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Somebody in the chat, this is Cindy, somebody in the chat asked how is Slide Canyon Road.
That's probably a better Larry Clarkson question because he's been out there a lot. But I haven't, I mean, it's dry as far as I know. Everybody's been getting to their areas.
Cindy? Jeff Nicholson,
yes.
Lot 113.
Uh-huh.
The Slide Canyon Road from Skootum Paw all the way up to the lower slide going to the west is dry. I've been up to Lot 241, but higher than that, you're going to probably need to ask Lot 118 that lives up there year-round, or Levitt's.
Aaron and Christina Dieter.
Yeah.
Aaron Lyle.
And they're here with us.
The roads are all drivable. They may be a little rough. They were still a little muddy in spots, too muddy. That clay just balls up if you try to grade it when it's still got moisture in it. But I know Christina has been in and out this past week, and Aaron. So I don't know who specifically in the chat was asking which lot number they're trying to get to.
Looks like 212.
212 up on top. That 212 will be difficult simply because there's a big, long north-facing slope. Ron Benson has been down this past week. He came down to help me pour concrete in lower slide on Tuesday, but he's on an ATV. So it's drivable on an ATV, but there's still a huge snow drift on that north face that is still weeping. Sorry about that. So as far as a pickup truck or a car type driving, 212 is probably not accessible for another week or two.
And this is Cindy again. Aaron and Christina, thank you. They posted a comment in the chat saying that it's very accessible up to Brad and Tammy's pond. If that helps you, Anthony. Okay. Thank you, everybody who contributed to that discussion. Any other questions for Kurt as property manager? Okay. So we're going to move on to new business. Michael and I have been fiddling around with a online cabin reservation system. And if everybody read the newsletter, this will probably be a rehash for you, but I'm sure some people missed the fact that the newsletter was also sent out with the notice of the board meeting. And if just for one second, I want to acknowledge Kelsey Betcher. She did a beautiful job of the newsletter. If anybody has seen it, it's very nice. She took a lot of wordy content and turned it into an interesting and very attractive newsletter. So my thanks go out to Kelsey Betcher for that. Anyway, we've been working on the new cabin reservation system because the biggest reason we haven't been able to update our website, which needs updating, is because the cabin reservation system is there and we have no other option for getting cabin reservations done. So we're teasing out the cabin reservations from the website. There will still be a link. You'll still go to the DSR website, the DeerSpringsRanch.org website, in order to access the reservations, but it will be separate from it enough that we can then start building the new website we've been talking about for years and make that a more functional, interactive website. So it's going to be a separate third-party system. There will be a fee for making a reservation. and we haven't yet established what that fee will be, but that's how that system gets paid for. So I don't know if anybody has any questions about that.
So I'm going to expand a little bit on this.
Right. Go ahead, Michael.
So why, out of all the ones I looked at, and I looked at a lot, out of all the ones I looked at, this is the only one that is per reservation fee based. So if we try this out for the summer and we decide as a group that we hate it, there's no long-term contract. We can do away with it. We can move to something else. It's one of the very few out there that have that there's no contract. It's just per reservation. Second reason is it's, yes, I did look at Savoy and that would not work for us. And well, it could have worked, but it also had yes, I did look at that one. Flyerfly to me ended up being the better alternative. It's easy enough to manage that, new board members coming in, new people handling reservations. It's transient enough and easy enough to learn that if you can drop and drag on a computer, you can function within managing that site. It does a lot of automated email processes. They're also adding modules. Now, granted, they say they're adding it. You know, how long that takes them, I don't know. But they're adding some that leads into the work orders. They're adding in some automated email processes that will notify that cabins are ready to be cleaned or people are coming in. It has automated billing, so no more of the going back and forth between person A to person B to person C to get the billings done. And it does have a QuickBooks integration to where some of this is going to become more seamless and less manpower to do it. There's my spiel.
Thanks, Michael. there's a number of things that won't. No system unless we build it ourselves, and it's going to be really complicated to do that. That's just a non-starter. Some of the things that it won't do. It won't, like, you'll still have to enter your lot number, and somebody will have to verify the lot number and verify that lot number has permission to use the cabins. There's still things that will be happening in the back end of that, but the user experience should be better. And currently, I don't know if everybody knows this, but when you reserve a cabin, there is a comments section, and there's also a place to enter how many people are coming to cabins. Neither of those are really provided to the person making the cabin reservations. And that's really awful, because if you make a reservation and you have something important to tell the person making the reservation for you, you think they've been sent that information because it's right there on the form and you filled it out. That information never gets to the cabin reservationist. That's bad. And that will change with this new system. That's the one I'm most looking forward to upgrading. So any questions about that? We'll probably be rolling it out later this season. Okay, then I'm going to move on to, as was mentioned before, the plan is to put in RV pads for member use, and it hasn't been started yet. It's still in the plan, and we're in the planning stages, and I just wanted to give the membership an opportunity to give us your thoughts about that before we finalize any plans. So if you think you would want to use the RV pads, I believe we're looking at putting pads in accessible to water and septic. We can also do some pads on association property where there will not be water or septic, but I don't know how many people really would be interested in that. So if anybody has any input, now would be a good time. Everybody still seems muted, so I'm going to move on. We would have liked to have had this meeting in person. We were not able to, with the time we had available, we were not able to get a hold of all the equipment and practice and make sure that it worked, because by all accounts, October was a disaster and we do not want to repeat that. So I am looking for a volunteer to be setting up the on-site board meetings. It cannot be a member of the board because we are usually tied up in the executive session at the time that this needs to be set up. So if anybody is particularly AV skilled or interested in learning how to do this and help out the board, that would be great. Am I muted?
No.
Okay. We'll send out an email.
The opportunity.
We'll send out an email to a wider audience and see if we can't find a volunteer that way. Okay. So along with the notification of the board meeting, was sent out a copy of a flow chart that is the DSROA work order process that we are developing. The idea behind this is that neighborhoods might want to do big projects. Individual members might see work that needs to be done around the ranch and need the property manager or the board to do the work or make the decision. And this is a way that it can be documented and tracked. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's experienced at one time or another, you say something to a member of the board, the property manager, or at a meeting, and it just gets dropped. Well, if a work order is completed, is filled out, it can't just get dropped. It's got to move to the next phase and the next phase and the next phase till it either is rejected or approved or has to go to budget. But this is something that the board is working on. We're trying to get systems in place so the ranch doesn't run on, you know, catch as catch can. You know, oh, well, when we get around to it, and maybe, and who knows, and then it gets forgotten. So if anybody is familiar already with flow charts and has had a chance to take a look at this, I would really like your feedback. And you can speak up now if you've already looked at it. Otherwise, you can send an email to me or the director of membership about it, and we'll take a look at your input.
Cindy, do you have the ability to put that up just on the screen sharing thing? Just many people might not even be aware of it or haven't seen the newsletter. Or
let me get it up on my computer.
I was just looking at it, but I'm not smart enough to figure out how to show it to everybody.
I'm not sure I am either, but let's see. I think I've got it. Okay, let me share my screen now. Oh, Danielle, I cannot share my screen without permission. Are you there?
Yes, let's see.
Or you can share it if you've got it in that email. Whichever's easier. While you're doing that, Kelsey, I see that you're on, and I wanted you to know that I appraised you as highly as I could about the newsletter. I think it's fantastic, and we're just very grateful. So, Danielle, are you going to have me share my screen, or are you going to share yours?
I was trying to figure out where I go to either allow you to.
So Jeff and Gia asked a question about the newsletters are going to be printed and mailed. No, that's expensive, time consuming, and we have to assume that most everybody can get email, and it was included in the email that had the link for this board meeting. If you need one email or mailed, a physical copy mailed to you, let's see, who would, if you ask Danielle, she will probably get around to it after her vacation. But let's start with that. If you need a paper copy sent to you because you do not get email, then you can request a copy from Danielle. Sorry, Danielle.
No, you're okay. Good. Just email me at thebookkeeping@yourfriendsrush.org and I can put that in the mail.
Okay.
Yeah, Cindy, this is Joe Bose.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, I never got an email for the newsletter or a written or a snail mail one. I did not get a copy.
Did you get a copy for the link for this meeting?
Say that again.
Did you get a, you got an email with the link to this meeting, yes? That's how you got here?
I don't know. With me and the computer, we don't do well.
Okay. Well, if you find the email that you clicked on the link to get here to this meeting today, that is one of the attachments. The newsletter is one of the attachments.
I'll look when I get off the computer.
We'll send it out separately next time. And in fact, if Danielle doesn't mind, if she could send it out under separate cover, a separate email of the newsletter to make sure everybody gets it.
I believe Cindy? It's on the DSROA website as well, isn't it?
Yes.
It was uploaded in
September. You read my mind, Michael. I was just going to bring that up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vance. Thank you, Michael. So this is the flow chart. And the idea is that a member sees that work needs to be done, or a neighborhood representative or some member on the ranch sees that work needs to be done. And communicates that request to the ranch manager. The ranch manager determines if a work order is needed. If it's not and it's urgent, he can just take care of it. For example, my road is blocked and I can't get to my lot because of the common road. And if he's got access to the equipment to clear that, he can just decide that's urgent. I can do that right now. And there's no need to fill out a formal work order. If a work order is needed, then he would direct the member how to submit a work order application. Then if the board needs to be involved, in other words, if it's something that has to be voted on, or it impacts more than one lot, or for some other reason the board is required, board involvement is required, then the ranch manager documents the work order and prioritizes and, if the board is not required, then the branch manager goes ahead and documents it and prioritizes the work. So if it's something that he can't really do until September, he's still got that work order to remind him to get that done, and he will keep track of that. If it's something he's got time, it's important, he can just do it at that time. So if the board involvement is required, then the ranch manager is going to submit that work order to, at this point, we're still trying to decide, but at this point we've got it down as the director membership. The director membership looks at it and decides if it's a valid request for the board to be dealing with. If it is, then he submits the work order to the board for its, as soon as they meet, They evaluate it. They decide if more information is needed from the member. If more information is needed, then a request goes back to that member, the person who applied for the work to be done. And that member then would collect data and resubmit the work order. Once the board has all the information that it needs, then they would vote to accept or reject the plan or the work order. And then that would move on to the budget process if that's needed. What we're missing a box here is if it does not require budgeting and has been approved, the work will just, that will go back to the ranch manager to get the work done or to whoever is going to be doing the work. If the request is not valid, if it's not something that the ranch is responsible for, if it's not something the ranch can do, then it would, the member would be informed that the work order was rejected and there would be no further action taken. Thank you very much, Danielle, for that. Now everybody's had a chance to kind of take a look at it and see where we're going with this. I will again ask if anybody has any input or questions, comments. Okay. So that concludes new business. Actually, it doesn't conclude new business. I'm sorry. At the last minute, I was notified that we need to call for nominations for the board. There will be elections in September this year. We'd like to do things a little bit differently and have a meet the candidates in August before voting has commenced. Traditionally, we've had the meet the membership at the, or meet the candidates at the big annual meeting, which is great, but half the people have already voted and it's too late, you know, to change your vote. And it just doesn't make sense to us. So we'd like to do at least a preliminary meet the candidates in August, at that board meeting and have people have a chance to, you know, ask some questions and see what their agenda is, what they're about, what they want to accomplish on the board. So I'm just letting everybody know that we are sending out a call for nominations, and you will send those to dsroa@deerspringsranch.org. Those will go to Danielle, who is going to be managing, at least initially, she'll be managing our election process. Okay, Bart is unavailable, as far as I know. Has anybody seen him? He's running in a race today, and he said if he was not running, he would be here, but it looks like he's not. So, honestly, he sent out an update on the water system projects that are going on, and I have more questions about them than I'm comfortable communicating. If anybody else on the board would like to communicate for Bart on that, I will absolutely give you the floor. Otherwise, we will wait till next month to get an update on the water projects that are going on.
Cindy,
Jeff. Yeah. This is Gary Clark.
Okay, I'm going to go to Jeff.
Sorry, I talked over some. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Jeff first, and then I'll get to you, Gary. Go ahead, Jeff.
There are some issues that are still outstanding with the water system, the Lower Ranch water system, and I just went to look at it. Hang on just a second. But we have been making progress in some areas. Let's see. There are three outstanding issues, which we have until August 1st to fix. We have a cross connection in the blowout system by the fill station. It needs to be dug out and corrected. We have a water meter that has a booster pump on it still. We have the interior of the 40,000-gallon tank to look at. Is starting to rust. And then the end of the tank drain on the 40,000-gallon tank needs to be dug out and added a screen to it. Those have to be done by the deadline of August 1st of this year. So, Gary, do you want to take on from there? Because I know you're going to talk about the one issue.
Well, before we get to that real quick, I believe that if it's a complicated issue to deal with, we need to submit a plan for correction by August 1st. I'm not sure it has to absolutely be corrected by then.
I got an extension. They wanted it completed by September, 30 days after the inspection had been done in July. I got an extension for a year. And okay. We were supposed to submit a plan to the state to have it approved so they could say, yes, go ahead and do that. If it's not completed by August 1st and we haven't submitted a plan, got it in the works, there will be fees assigned to the ranch.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. And again, I'm not qualified to be answering this. This is something that Bart has been managing. And if you are concerned about the status of any of this, I would urge you to contact him.
I have already been in contact with Bart.
Okay.
He's well aware of this. I'm just informing you.
Okay, thank you. Gary, you want to go ahead?
Yes, Gary Clark, Lot 144. Good morning, everyone. And I just wanted to say thank you for the road just being in awesome condition when I drove out a couple days ago. And the newsletter is absolutely phenomenal. So awesome efforts on that. So thank you for that. I know that Bart has spent a lot of time, and his efforts also need to be commended, but there's a lot of questions out there. I was just introduced into the conversation on May the 7th, and unfortunately, I don't think I have all of the current information to where I feel comfortable in submitting questions and responding as been requested. So I'm reaching out to take the current drawings, the schematics, and then laying it out and walking the property so that we can have a better understanding as the location of the tank and what have you. So in summation, I'm looking for a meeting to be set up so that can happen. And Bart needs to be able to, facilitate that. So that's where I stand at this juncture. I really don't have any questions or anything more to add outside of the fact that I have heard that as long as we supply a plan, then we have an extension. But apparently that has yet to be done. So that's all I have to add. So.
Okay. Well, thank you, Gary. Again, I feel a little bit, back on my heels or something because I'm not as informed as I would like to be. My understanding is not as great on the water system that are happening. If Bart is responding to your questions and your requests, if you feel something further needs to be done, feel free to contact me directly. My email is on the website, the SROA or the DeerSpringsRanch.org website. If you are not satisfied with how Bart is dealing with it, and I'm not saying that you aren't, I'm just saying if that's the case, then you are welcome to contact me directly and I'll set something up with the three of us, or see, you know, I can evaluate then what really needs to be taken to get to the next step. So thank you very much, Gary.
Yes, Jeff. Again. The discussion was taken to Sunrise Engineering. They drew up some preliminary plans. The plans have been returned to the water board, for the water committee, to review. Gary, I could meet you out there. Brent Fulmer could meet you out there. Kurt could meet you out there, and we could walk exactly where the things are supposed to be done. But it's not concrete in any way, shape, or form. It was just a preliminary plan. There has been no financial assessment done. So even if we say, okay, yes, let's do this, we don't know what it's going to cost. So, but there are some things that we can take care of. The biggest thing is getting the lots that are connected to the supply/distribution line from the 40,000-gallon tank on their own line and have water pressure to those lots from a secondary tank. Does that help any?
Are you asking Gary?
Yeah, I understand it, and I'm fine with the design, and I understand the concept and everything. It's just a matter of just the placement of what is being proposed. So by walking it, I think that we'll have a better understanding of what I would like and what's going to work for us and see how that relates to the schematics. So by putting the schematics and walking it, we'll be able to have a better understanding than rather than just looking at some lines on a piece of paper. So I'm available now. I'll be here for the next couple of days. So if you guys want to set something up, I'll be available.
Gary, I could make it out there. Probably not on Monday, but maybe later today. Are you on your lot?
Yes, I am.
I could see if I can get out to you. I'll email you privately.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thank you.
Your efforts, and if not, I will be back the following week, May 22nd, I believe. So if we can't make it work this time, we can certainly meet next time.
Cindy, this is Larry.
Yeah, hi, Larry. What's up?
I think because I'm not on the water committee, I haven't been included in most of the communications, but I did see just this morning some of the information going back and forth. And I think this is a pretty serious thing we all need to look at really closely, simply because when I see the Sunrise Engineering cost estimate of materials only, you know, pushing $100,000.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
A little mind-blowing. Yeah. And so there are much simpler solutions, much more practical solutions that serve individual lot owners and the association, and so that's why I have always been a little leery of getting these outside engineering firms and outside consulting firms that are charging outrageous dollars to accomplish something that's like okay, that's not going to happen anytime this millennium.
Right. And my understanding is that in no way has been approved, or that the water committee is not yet ready to submit that.
Right. It's just all preliminary, but I think we're kind of misleading. There's no point in discussing with an engineering firm. There's no reason to waste their time to come up with a plan when we're going to say, oh yeah, we're looking at pennies and you're looking at gold bullion.
Right, exactly.
I'm not on the same planet.
Okay.
And Larry, I'm without Bart here, I think it's unfair for us to continue discussing the water projects, because he has been instrumental. He has been working with the water committee on this, and we're kind of jumping in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't want to give the membership the wrong impression about what's happening. And I'd really like to just table this discussion until Bart can be a part of it. I know we're running out of time, but that means maybe
I just wanted to call the attention, because I don't know if anyone else on the water committee had any of this information available to them until last night or whenever it came through.
Right.
So I think we just all need to kind of pay attention and say, okay, we need to go to plan B or drop back 10 yards and punt or something.
Well, right. So my understanding is that the water committee, there's nothing preventing anybody with an interest in attending the water committee meetings or getting CC'd on the information. And I'd like to table this until Bart is here and he can do some clarification. But if you, especially board members, have an interest and you're not comfortable with what direction it's going, I would encourage you to ask Bart to include you in the invitations for the water committee meetings.
Well, can I just clarify why an engineer was involved?
Okay.
Because we had a level 2 survey, and then we had a sanitary survey, and we were assigned some deficiencies. Those deficiencies I read off. And why we had a deadline to fix them, part of that is in order to fix anything on a certified water system, it has to be drafted by an engineering firm, submitted to the state, built to those standards, to those specifications, and then inspected after it's been installed. That's why an engineering firm was contacted. It's no way finalized any pricing or estimates or whatever. That's all available for discussion. But we will have to have an engineering firm involved, and we will have to have it submitted to the state before we put one shovelful of dirt away from the system to start repairing it.
I'm not at all against the engineering firms, Jeff. I'm simply against leading an engineering firm down an open-ended tunnel instead of giving them guidelines to say, okay, we need a solution. It has to be state approved. That's all. Everybody agrees to that fact. There are $10,000 solutions and there are $2 million solutions. They need to be given guidelines to say, we're in the $10,000 solution arena, not the $2 million solution arena.
And it's actually the state that the water guy that has to approve it. So it's not the engineering company that has to approve it. It's the state. And we can take what they give us even and do a smaller scale of it, something.
Yeah.
Okay, Jeff, thank you very much for that information. Larry, did you have any other
questions? No, that's all on that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so bit of a sticky wicket, and we're still working through trying to find the best solution for the members and the rant. All right, so it's time for the brief report of areas of responsibility, and we're going to go to you, Kurt. Did you have anything as agriculture and infrastructure director?
Hello. I think I covered everything in my meeting. The main thing is the, because of the late winter, kind of flowed into cow gathering season, the fence in Podunk will commence again on June 1st after all the cows are sorted and the bulls are put where they belong. Then Clancy and gang will be full steam ahead on that fence out there. And everything else regarding agriculture is the stuff around the headquarters, which I already covered. So that's all that I have.
I had a bit of a question. It is believed that there is a leak from the 40,000-gallon tank to the lower cabins, and so they have been closed on the schedule. The lower cabins have all been closed on the schedule until, I believe, the 24th of May. And if any members have been trying to get a reservation and you're finding no cabins available, that could be why we close them, because they won't have water during those states to give Kurt and whoever else is going to be working with him a chance to find that leak and repair it. So you want to talk about that, Kurt?
Well, I think we're in a bit of a conundrum right now, so there's not a lot to talk about. Brent had a great idea, and I intend to hunt him down after the meeting, and I think we're going to probably end up combining a couple of ideas. But, yes, we are looking for a leak in the line. And the length of that being shut down could be shortened or lengthened. Brent and I will get together. He had a great idea. I have an idea to add to that that's kind of along the same line. So, but I don't really want to say we're doing one or the other till I talk to Brent. We can give you something a little more solid. But
okay.
Expect it to be short term.
We're going to try really hard not to have to cancel any reservations on the cabins. And if the cabins can be opened sooner than May 24th, we'll send out a notice so that people trying to get reservations for that time can then proceed. All right. Any questions for Kurt? Okay. Sean, would you like to talk about roads? Is John here? Darn, he was here earlier. I don't see him. Okay. If he pops back in.
He's still there.
Oh, is he? Where are you? I don't see him.
He's shown on my screen as a participant.
Yeah, he's showing on my screen.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there he is. Maybe he's having a hard time unmuting. Or maybe he stepped away. So we'll go ahead and go to Larry, and we'll come back to John at the end. Larry?
Couldn't find the unmute button. The only thing I have to report is our fish will be delivered on May 30th, which is a Tuesday. Our options were May 23rd and May 30th, and I was not 100% sure I would be back in the land of the living on the 23rd, so I delayed it to the 30th. So anybody that wants to be around when the fish are delivered, other than that, I don't have anything new or crazy to report. And it looks like John's back available, so I'll finish mine and turn it back over to him.
But before you do that, I had a question, and maybe I should have asked Kurt, but the road up to the cabins is dangerous. Dangerous because some of the ruts are so bad that somebody could bust an axle trying
to. I plan on running the grader up there, but I was going to talk to Larry if he might recommend we use his smaller grader, which would put it in his lap.
Okay.
All right, so I just wanted to raise the question so you guys will have a discussion about it. I mean, you can certainly talk about it now.
Yeah, I had not driven that since I cleared the snow to get them up in there originally, so I wasn't aware that there were ruts.
Yeah, do you think our grader is good to go up there, or would you rather you do it in the smaller grader?
I'll get with you later on.
Okay.
Do you guys copy me now?
Yeah. Hi, John. So, would you like to talk about roads?
For some reason, I was not muted, but anyway. Yes, on the road, I was up there briefly the other day on my way back home, and I didn't get a chance to check the roads, but I've been talking. I talked with Larry, and just to let you know that I at least a couple of weeks ago, I told Larry to go ahead and get what he deems necessary, and he's working mostly in slide as conditions would allow, and I know that he's done a lot of work over at Slide. In fact, he did some work that we're really not responsible for, I believe, carrying from Scoot and Paul up to our gate over in Slide. Anyway, Larry's been on top of it and getting them, and he's been very, very busy on it. I've noticed if anybody wants to go up Meadow Canyon and go up to Pipeline. We have about a 3-foot wide ditch there that the water carved in from the gate going towards the Red Ponds, and it was flowing, and it was probably more than 12 inches deep, and it's kind of a bump. I got across it, but be careful if you go up that way. Because with the water running, I don't know what we can do to fix it. Larry might have an idea. And it could get deeper if it continues to flow. Up on my end, I was able to get up to my house, and I'm at 7,600 feet. And so that was pretty good. But I think up the highway to heaven and those roads up there are might be a little rough and dangerous getting up there. I noticed Larry had come all the way up to up on Slide and into Cow Pass. That's leading up to Hidden Canyon up there. He's gotten that. I'm not sure how it is coming down from Hidden Canyon. Larry, do you have you gone up to Hidden Canyon from Cow Pass?
It is now dry and drivable. It's a little rut, but it's passable.
Okay, that's good. So there's that one. There's that one hook up there coming off of Cal Passage where you're going to the left instead of the right. Now, that's a pretty hard turn. Is that passable?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good. Well, Larry's taking care of things pretty good. He's going to make me look good because he's told me what he's done. And that's the only reason I got able to report here much at all to you. Probably in a he's went up Crawford too, I believe, and done some, and he said that wasn't too horrible up there. We know we need to do a lot of work, but that for the most part is passable, Larry.
It is. I didn't take a machine up Crawford. I was just over there checking on a couple other things and drove clear up past Phil Hall's place. And back from Crawford, back down around through Old Burn Road. So everything is drivable, but people need to, you know, drive with caution, slow down, don't hit the big rocks or you tear up your tires. And,
yeah.
We work on getting things graded as we have time.
Okay. Well, I will be back, on the ranch by this coming weekend, not, next weekend. And I'll be able to check things out and see where we are. But meanwhile, Larry's has had my permission so he can get paid. You know, he needs to get paid for his labor here. And he's been doing a lot, and he's been very fair with everything, and he's working hard. So anyway, I guess that's the end of my report.
Well, thank you, John. Anybody have questions for John about the roads?
Has anybody been up through the North Gate, up to the top?
I have not been up there, but the amount of water that's coming down there, as I was up there on Tuesday, you know, I don't know about going to the right. Maybe you could go up to the left because it is, for the most part, fairly rocky. But that going up to the right and going up towards the restrooms up there on the top, I suspect that's nasty.
There's a spring path across the road.
We won't come in that way. We'll go around and take some four-wheelers up and take a look.
Yeah, this is Jeff Nicholson again. I was up there on Tuesday and went to the North Gate. You have a river coming down out of the canyon off the Pink Cliff Loop Road coming into the towards the Red Reservoir. There was still a good amount of snow on the ground there at the North Gate, the upper gate. And I don't know if you'd be able to get across from Crawford Pass and down for a few more weeks.
Good. Thank you for the update.
And Jeff, I had a, before you mute yourself again, since you were up there last year, there was a lot of concern about the clearing that was done. Did you happen to, you know, is there anything obvious?
You're talking about the potential erosion after they,
the impact to the road from that clearing. And, right. You know, I don't know that we can tease that out between, you know, this really bad wet winter and the clearing that was done, but I was just curious, because I haven't seen it myself, if there's anything obvious.
All the way up along Meadow Canyon and just below the ponds, all the way up to the north, well, past Crawford, where they did some more clearing up on the Crawford turnoff. All of the, where we thought there'd be a lot of runoff and debris coming off the hillside, I didn't notice anything on the road or down below, so it must have, the runoff must have melted at a very slow rate so that there wasn't a lot of immediate flash flooding on the hillside. So I didn't see any immediate major erosion spots, but I don't think we're out of the woods yet.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't see it either, Cindy. I didn't see it either as I went up there going to our place. It didn't look like we got any damage more than we usually do on from where they cleared it.
That is great news. I know a lot of members were very concerned, myself included, and that's good news. That it's potentially really good news. I'll say that. Yeah. Okay. So, if there's anything else about roads for John, any other questions? So Aaron and Christina, mentioned in the chat that when they came up pipeline and crossed the ditch at the gate, the deep ditch that John was talking about, there was not a lot of water flowing at that time. And that was Thursday morning. Thank you very much for that, Aaron and Christina. Michael, do you have anything further to add?
I do not.
Okay. And Scott, do you have anything?
There, we're waiting for it to unmute. No, I don't have anything further right now.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions for the treasurer or the secretary at this time? Okay, so I'm going to move on to the open member forum. If anybody has any questions for the board, any topics you would like us to address coming up, please take 2 or 3 minutes and address it now. There, and again, we cannot vote on anything or make any decisions on anything that's brought up in this section of the meeting. We will address it, if appropriate, at the next meeting. So, Kevin, did you unmute yourself for a reason?
Yes, I did. Kevin, lot 64.
Go ahead.
This kind of gets back to the whole roads up there with the fire mitigation and that whole thing. On November the 28th, I'd sent a request to Bart for a copy of the contract that was done to that work up there. And never heard a word back from him. I would like a copy of the contract given to all of the ranch members, because here's the bottom line. The beauty of the ranch is part of our property value, and that has been seriously decimated in the ponds all the way up to the North Gate and up Crawford. There is a ton of debris and limbs and shattered mess thrown everywhere. To my understanding, there was supposed to be a tree left every 40 feet. It looks like it was just clear cut with a bomb. It's horrific to look at. The mess that is left, it's like, I know this work was done October, early November. It's like they were in a big hurry to get through there, get it all pushed out of the way. And now they've just completely abdicated from the rest of the job. There's still a piece of large equipment broke down on side of the road up there. It was also to my understanding there was supposed to be hand cut and stacked into piles for burning, et cetera, lumber. None of that was done. It just looks like this whole thing was haphazard and amateurish at best. And since it does affect the property values, especially of people who live in the pipeline and the whole area, it affects the property value of the ranch in general because of the ponds area, I think we owe ourselves as a homeowners association to review these contracts. And if there is responsibility to be had by the contractor, then it needs to be addressed. At minimum, they need to come clean up their mess. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that, Kevin. I can ask Bart to post that contract to the DSROA website so everybody would have access to it. And I'll also ask him to send you a copy directly. Thank you for your input. Anybody else have anything?
Cindy, do you copy?
I do. Hi, Brent.
Okay, we got the upper cabin water system fixed, and we had a leak up there, and it would have gone a little quicker, but Kurt wasn't listening to me when I said, no, Kurt, no. I think that's cross-threaded. It took us an extra day. That's just a joke. It was just
yes, it is, because it was a glue joint.
So, anyway, on the leak in the H quarters, in the headquarters system, I spent all yesterday morning traipsing the entire pipeline back and forth, and I can't find anything surfacing. I've been in all the vaults, and I can't find any leaks there. And so I'm at a point now where I'm wondering if we ought to go in and dig the into the berm and see if we've got a leak underneath the 40, you know, the 40,000 gallon tanks leaking.
Okay, Brent, I'm sorry. I got a little confused, partly probably because I was trying to take notes as you're talking too. So the what you're talking about, checking the vaults and not seeing anything surface, is that the leak from the 40,000 gallon tank you're talking about? That, or are we back
yes,
on the upper
levels? Yes, yes. I walked the pipeline yesterday. It's a 2 mile walk down and back.
And that's from the 40,000 gallon to the lower
cabins? That's from the 40,000 gallon tank down to the Scudamaw vault. There's a vault right next to the Scudamaw. I walked that back and forth. I have been in, well, we looked in the Scudamaw vault. Larry got in there with his hearing thing. I've been in the well vault. I've looked in the generator vault. I've been in the PRV vault. And we can't find anything, but we're still losing water. So, one of the things that I did the other day was I started looking at water meters to see if any water was flowing. And so, Gary, I know you're on right now. I looked in your meter and every so often your pump would come on and your meter would spin. Do you know if you have any leaks down there?
Currently, I have not looked since I've been here, but I certainly will look and report back for sure.
Oh, okay.
If
are you?
If you saw that, then that tells me there is something leaking. Then, if you see my meter running and I'm not here, so I need to go and check that.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm gonna.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
If you're going to be around, I'll come down about 1 o'clock.
Sounds good.
Okay, I'll see you then.
Okay, Brent.
Anyway, on the electrical building, I could provide power today if I had the solar array in place. I want to put my panel lines in conduit to keep the rodents away, but it's not very far. Everything's ready to go. It's just getting the solar array on the appears. And then on the teleconference thing, I want to nominate the person I know who's most tech savvy on the ranch, and that's Brian Castle. I'll do the setup if he won't do it. So anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you, Brent. Thank you for volunteering Brian too. I'll wait and see what he has to say about that. Okay.
Thanks, Brent.
Yeah. Ben Collinwood has had his hand up for a bit, so I'd like to go to Ben next.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Just a small little thing, small little request. The neighborhood radio channels and the various areas, I read the newsletter, and I'm grateful that there's being channels set up. But I don't know what each area is when people talk about the different areas. Could we in the next newsletter perhaps just have a small map kind of like outlines, hey, this is Western Crawford or East Crawford or, pipeline or upslope, like just something like that. That'd be super handy. That's all.
On the DSRA website, there is a link to a map that shows all the various areas.
Oh, perfect.
And if you give me I'll tell you the link. It is the DSR online directory. And that map labels out all the areas. And it's right off the main page.
Okay, wonderful. I will check it out. Thanks.
You're welcome.
And the neighborhoods are labeled, Michael?
Jeff and Tina, please step in. But that map, to me, directly related to what they'd outlined in the newsletter. You've got West Slide, East Slide, you know, West Crawford, East Crawford, you know, Podunk out there. To me, it looks like the labels on that map are what they used. Jeff, Tina?
Yeah, basically, yes, basically. Because Crawford is a big area, right? So it's split off into West Crawford, East Crawford, whatever. So instead of just having one channel that probably will not cover the entire area, we split it into those multiple pieces. We still may not cover either, right? So if you're on the West Crawford channel, but you're in West Crawford and there's a hill between you and your neighbor, since those channels are line of sight, you still may not hear each other, so you still may have to use the DSR repeater channel.
Correct.
That's 1 mile radius that the radios will go.
Yeah.
And we've actually out of Podunk found it goes quite a bit more than that. If line of sight is very clear. So but don't count on it. Great. All right. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Michael.
Cindy, I got one other question. This is Ben still speaking.
Yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh.
On the new RV pads, the ones that may have both septic and electric or things like that or water, whatever we end up putting in for there, what do we plan to do with if septic is there to prevent, let's say, people coming in and dumping their whole, you know, their whole load and leaving it for us to clean up, take care of afterwards?
Well, I think we could have an option for people to be using our septic to dump their trailer waste into and just, like, have a small charge for that to help us with maintenance, upkeep.
I think what he's asking is if they screw up and dump crap just on the ground instead of actually in the tank.
Is that your question, Ben?
Well, no, I just know that sometimes in the RV world, dumping is a little bit hard to come by. And so if they're there, they're going to be like, great, we can just dump everything that we've had in the tanks for the last little while, something like that. And I think you're right. I think just a fee is probably appropriate. I hadn't thought about it. I was just curious if we had, you know, if we're planning to put in enough, I guess, capacity for the fluids and all that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, if you charge a fee, that makes sense.
I'm pretty sure we will. There is a number of people I know on the ranch that have RVs that they use frequently. And this really is for them. There are people that can't really use their lot for staying on. They don't have infrastructure. They don't have, you know, a big pad or whatever. And so this is for the members' use, and it'll be run similar to the cabin system. The, you know, Michael talked about Firefly, and that was one of the things that helped us make the decision to choose to test that system, is because it does both RV pads and cabins. So that's of a benefit. But thank you for bringing that up. We'll, you know, and we're so out of the way that it's not going to be non-members using the RV pads for dumping. I just don't see that. We're way too far out of the way to use it as a dump when there's, you know, six places in town that are happy to let you dump at their property. Is there anything else?
All good.
Okay, Ben, thank you. Now, Anthony from Lot 212 had a question about the J station and water being available at headquarters, and it suddenly occurred to me, I don't know why it didn't occur to me either, when the water is shut down to be repairing that leak, Kurt, maybe you could address this. Will we still have access to the J station, or do we need to send out a notice that water will also be shut down for a while?
Well, we're not 100% sure we're going to be digging and repairing anything at this point. And so right now, be aware we did chlorinate the system and flushed it out, and there is chlorine in the water now. And it's open, and if we did, for example, dig up by the 40,000 gallon tank, there's still 6,000 gallons of water in the line to headquarters. So I don't see any reason why we would let that water line run out, but you know, it's, we don't know yet. You know,
okay. Brent
and I have been looking for a leak for ever since I've started here, and we thought we had it finally.
Okay, so do me a favor, Kurt. Please let me know if we need to shut off water to the J station with as much notice as possible so we can get a notice out to the membership that that will be shut off.
Okay.
Just give me a heads up so we can get...
So everybody can pull up.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. All right, any other members like to take a few minutes, bring something up? Okay, I would like to say a hearty thank you to everybody who showed up for this meeting. This was so cooperative. There were so many great suggestions and contributions from the members as well as the board. I love the board. Sorry, guys. I gotta say it. You're so good to work with, and everybody on the board currently is just so attentive to their job and getting stuff done. But at this meeting, kudos to the membership. Thank you so much for all your participation and your suggestions. And with that, I am going to move that we adjourn the meeting.
Let's verify our next meeting date and location.
I always forget that.
At Deer Springs Ranch.
I always forget that. Yes, it will be an in-person meeting, especially if Brian is able to help. We will somehow get a in-person meeting done. We'd love to see all your faces in real life instead of just Jeff and Michael. It'll be great to see everybody again. So that will be June 10th, 2023, obviously, at 10 a.m. We'll see you there. Okay, so we're looking for a second for the meeting adjournment.
I'll second you.
Second.
All right, thanks, Kurt and John. And all in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, then this meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everybody. See you soon.
See ya.